Around Comics, episode 50.
From the Chicago Minicon, this is Around Comics, a weekly roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the producer of the show, Brian Salazar.
Hi, Chris. I'm over here standing next to Mike Huddleston. No, I'm... what's going on, guys? This is interesting.
This is nuts. Next is our Around Comics regular, the monkey in the middle, Mr. Tom Caters.
Hi. I don't have anything to say. It's really...
Tom's overwhelmed.
He's dumbstruck. And our other Around Comics regular, the host of Word Balloon and our good friend, Mr. John Suntress.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm in the caucus of the Moonstone creators, and we're going to be addressing the floor and proposing a new change in comics shortly. This is a real convention. It really does feel like it.
Yeah, it does.
This is nuts. Everyone listening out there, first of all, welcome to our 50th episode.
Woo, 50!
Congratulations, gentlemen.
I feel so old. Yeah, this is it. We're done. This is our
final.
Good,
I'm giving you guys gold watches, and that's it.
Thank you, thank
you. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Beautiful Timex.
Yeah, guys, 50 episodes. It just seems like yesterday we were talking about getting this crazy thing started.
I was doing some calculations, and I think I figured out that I've wasted like 3 years of my life in 50 episodes. Somehow I transverse time.
100 hours of crap.
No, I figured, you know, it's like 50. Okay, so that's 50 episodes. That's at least 3 hours an episode recording time. Plus the 2 or 3 hours of editing time.
Drive time.
Then the time we spent on the website, and then all the research. I mean, we've literally spent like 9,000 billion hours working on this thing, but you know what? This is
it's
a hell
good
of
Pentagon
a
math there. I like that.
Yeah,
that
something
was very
like that.
Good.
You like that? It's all worth it, though, because just like today is...
To explain all of the background chatter that is much more than we usually have.
The canned crowd noise that
we brought in a live audience.
We put together, not even for our 50th episode, it was really just kind of chance that this happened, because we were going to do this 2 weeks ago,
right,
and then had to reschedule, but we really kind of figured out that there were so many fantastic Chicago area creators, why not put together a signing just for an afternoon and have them come to Dark Tower and record with them, and just happened to be this week in our 50th episode. We're calling it the Chicago Minicon, and gosh, who do we have here today?
We got Len Cody, Mike Huddleston, Francesco, Bill Reinhold, Tom Kelly, Dave Walker, of course,
Scott Johnson,
Rafael Nieves, Jason Millay,
Michael Oliveri should be here
Michael
in just
Oliveri
a moment.
Should be here soon. And a couple of surprise guests we didn't even know were coming.
Yeah.
A couple of guys that, you know, me and Tom were talking earlier, we've renamed it the Chicago FlashCon. It's just like...
It really is.
Yeah, it's like we just, you know... We hung a sign and like comic creators just came out of the woodwork.
We are going to make so much money, guys.
Are we charging? Do we charge for this?
I'm spending money, I know that. Well, hey, before we get in here, our regular announcement is, and yes, Sal, I have moved a bunch of the other announcements to the middle.
It only took 50 episodes.
Yeah, Robot Chris got the right programming this time.
49 horribly long beginnings.
To let everyone know, normally we record every Friday evening at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles.
A much quieter
Dark Tower, and it is located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. And
I'm sorry, I was distracted. Francesco was waving at
me. I know. He is a sexy lad, Francesco.
You know, it's just so weird. It's like a couple of months ago we were at Wizard World Chicago, and half these guys I was standing in line to get sketches and mm-hmm. sign, you know, autograph books from.
Mike Oliveri spit on me once. Now he's and now he's at something that I did not organize but showed up to.
No, you're all part of it. I don't know.
Hey, you know, we do have a new contest to announce. And the details will be available on Monday at the site. But I am really, really excited about this. We're calling this the Exterminators Bug Hunt.
The Bug Hunt.
Everyone out there that listens to the show knows that we love the Exterminators. It is a fantastic book. And I got in touch with Simon Oliver, the writer, and told him that we were interested in doing an Exterminators-themed contest. And we're going to take the second arc of the Exterminators, and there's going to be 10 items to find in those issues. Email us the correct answers, and we will draw from all of the correct entries, and the prize pack is going to be really, really cool. Signed trades from Simon, a signed script from one of the, I believe,
wow,
the first issue, and a bug.
A dead bug.
Well, not a live cockroach, but I think a sketch of a cockroach from Tony Moore.
Wow.
That's even better.
And the clues are all being handpicked by Simon himself.
Yeah.
He was really into the whole thing.
He's
doing it. Yeah.
Not some Hollywood underling.
That's right. Him personally.
Simon Oliver's going to do it himself.
We'll do
so
it
when this episode airs, just go to aroundcomics.com, and we'll have, I'm sure, a button for the Exterminators Bug Hunt contest.
Absolutely.
And this will be fun. I think we're going to probably run it out for like 6 weeks or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it'll go for a while. It'll give people a chance to go back and get those issues, and if they already haven't, you know, picked them up. And what issues? Do you know what issues exactly that is?
I think it's 7, 8, 9, or 6, 8, or
okay.
6, 7, and 8. And then there's the Chris Somni issue.
And normally we wouldn't make people buy something to enter a contest, but we don't feel bad because Exterminators is such a good book that if you haven't read it,
you're gonna win either way.
Right? Exactly.
Even if you've read them once,
yeah,
reading them again.
Read them again and
read
find
them five
some.
Times.
Yeah, find some interesting.
Drink
and who
the
knows? And who knows what the 10 things are gonna be? I mean, you might see stuff in there that you didn't know exist. You know, you didn't see the first time around. Who knows what
become
Simon's gonna
become one of us.
One of us.
And the reason I want to run it for like 6 weeks is if you hadn't had a chance to read the first arc, it's a perfect opportunity to get Bug Brothers, the first trade. I think it's $9.99
yes, it
from Vertigo, and so worth it.
Absolutely.
It's a dense read. All right, well, guys, I think that's our announcements. I'll get back to the other announcements in
that's
the middle
it?
Of the show.
That's
Sal.
All the announcements?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
All sorts. But this is our 50th episode, so I think this is going to be a little bit of a walk down memory lane. We're gonna
is it a clip show?
This is your life, sort of.
Who can forget that time?
Best of.
Who can forget that time we came here on a Friday and sat around?
Talk comics.
Well,
I remember
you know, history of the show, we started out doing this.
Hey, Tom, do you remember when John Byrne called himself an asshole
yeah.
on our show? Remember that?
He called himself a fucker.
A fucker, that was it, yeah. See, I don't even remember. It was so long
ago. But history of the show, we just kind of got together and talked about doing this thing. We originally did this over Skype from you were at your house, I was at mine. We, you know, Tom would chime in every once in a while. We'd have different guests here and there. And I think, you know, what, around episode 16, we moved it to the store. And it has been...
There's been a good 24 good episodes.
Yes. We hope.
Out of 50.
I mean, out of 50.
We're almost batting 500,
almost
I think.
Almost 500.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. You'd
be leading the league
in
our baseball.
We met John through the show.
We did meet
that's
John.
That's very true.
That's,
and,
you know, been
and
great.
And I feel like I've known you all my life, John.
Well, that's a beautiful thing, Chris. And stay away.
The restraining order has been sent out. Well, I tell you what, guys. You guys talk amongst yourselves, and I'm going to call one of our former guests. Hello, is Andy Parks there?
Hey, it's me.
There he is. It's crazy up here. It's insane. Well, we had to call you anyway.
It sounds loud.
Yeah, we put together a little signing, and a bunch of people showed up. Shocked the hell out of us.
This is good. This is good radio.
What's you guys got a bunch of artists there?
Yeah, we got like 15, 16 creators.
Francesco, Bill Reinhold, Mike Huddleston, Scott Johnson's here, Rafael Nieves. It's crazy. It's
nice.
Yeah, it's nuts. So, Andy, you are our first call-in guest on our 50th episode, and we had to call you because you've kind of turned into one of our running, not jokes, because you're not a joke.
You are a running joke.
You are now a running joke.
Yeah,
you know?
But you're a running joke on the show now.
Nice. Well, I'm flattered.
we always encourage people to be as cool as Andy Parks and give us an iTunes music review. So,
nice. So I heard you. Some punk said I wasn't all that cool. What's his problem?
He doesn't know what he's talking about, Andy. He just doesn't know cool is what it is.
And I think we may even be giving your partner in crime, Phil, a call here in a little bit.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so... I guess we should talk about what you're doing here real quick. Irredeemable Ant-Man came out a couple weeks ago. Very cool stuff, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really proud of that book.
I think
I really like Kirkman's style for this book. He set out to make something that's real dense and gives you a solid read. And he challenged Phil and I. You know, there's a lot of stuff to draw in that book, but I think it's been really exciting for us, so hopefully we're giving him what he needs.
Seems like you guys are going to have access maybe to some other characters in the Marvel Universe from time to time. I mean, in the first issue, you had Wolverine, and that was a really interesting couple of scenes with him. And are you looking forward to bringing in other characters into that book?
Yeah, absolutely. We got to draw Captain America recently. We did this 8-pager for that Civil War Choosing Side thing. So it's cool. It's our first chance to kind of play around in the Marvel Universe. When we started on Green Arrow, you know, Kevin Smith wanted to play with all the DC characters, so we got to draw everybody we loved. And I think Robert's going to give us a chance to draw all the Marvel guys we're anxious to draw.
I tell you what, that full page of Wolverine attacking all the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys, I flipped the page. Oh, I saw that, and I was like, I can't wait for Phil to hopefully get onto... a Wolverine book and for you to ink that. It turned out so cool.
Yeah, that was nice. And that was Phil's idea, having Wolverine bite the dude's pinky off. I like that.
Nice.
Well, as we've seen from Phil's other work outside of mainstream comics, he definitely has a dark streak in him, so...
He does.
Yeah, we
never know what to look at him, but he's a sick dude.
Well, speaking of, the Coffin and Deep Sleeper, Mike Huddleston's here today.
Huddleston, you gotta watch out for that dude, man. He lives at 11.
He's selling knives, too, along with his books, which I think is odd, but whatever. I mean, that's solid.
Yeah.
Sword salesman.
I'd say, Andy, just in putting this whole signing together and just how gracious you've been and talking with us and everything, that's one of the things that just amazes us is how gracious the creators are out there. And this, you know, our 50th episode, I think, is just a big thank you to all you guys. And
no problem.
It's
always a pleasure. And you know what? I want to thank you guys because I have a good job, but there are some nights when it's 2 a.m. and I got another page to finish. I don't much feel like it, and it's nice to have some friends keeping me company on a podcast to keep me going through that stuff.
Oh,
well,
that's awesome.
You know what? We'll keep doing it then, man.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank myself.
Nice.
Tom, you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Tom, you're making Andy Parks' art that much better,
yes.
Tom. That's good.
Well, that is cool.
And I'll get in trouble. I often forget to mention Exterminators when I'm promoting, and Tony Moore gets mad at me. So that book's still coming out, too.
Well, hey, we just announced a new contest, which we won't go over because we've already talked about it. But, yeah, we just announced an Exterminators contest.
Cool.
So we love that book, and we'll continue to promote it as long as Simon and Tony
and
you
Andy.
Or Chris Somni or Hawthorne or whoever's
as
working on it.
As long as it's good.
Awesome.
As soon as it sucks, we're going to drop off that bandwagon.
And badmouth all of you.
Hey, Tom's not lying because he's collected the Flash for 20 years, and he finally just cut it off. So he'll do it. If you guys start sucking, he'll cut it.
I will turn on you so fast.
You're telling me Flash didn't suck for 20 years, and then it was gone?
Yeah, well, it did. I don't want to be... I'm sick of complaining about the Flash, but it hasn't sucked this bad in 20 years.
I got you.
Well, Mr. Parks, before we let you go, you got anything else in the hopper that you're working on that we don't know about?
The only writing thing I've got coming out anytime soon is an 8-pager for that Postcard Anthology. Have you guys heard about that?
No.
It's a cool project. I think it's just going to be called Postcards. It's put together by the guy who edits Elk's Run.
Oh, cool.
His name I can't remember right now.
Not Josh.
Josh is a writer. I forget the editor's name. He's going to hate me.
I can't remember it either.
We'll overdub it and edit it in later for you, Andy.
Tom can do an amazing Andy Parks impression.
It's a cool thing. He found old postcards from, like, turn of the century up through the 30s, 40s. And he gave all the writers a few choices. And then we went and wrote stories based on these old postcards. So it fit what I do really well because it kind of involved a little research and historical stuff. So that was really cool. It should be coming out, I don't know, it's probably 4 months away or so. It got picked up by Random House, so it's going to be a real book.
Are the
a real book?
Yeah. Who reads those? are the postcards going to the original postcards going to be in the book?
Yes.
Cool. That sounds really interesting.
So you kind of get to see what we had to rip on.
Sure.
Awesome. That sounds cool.
They hooked me up with an artist named Joseph Bergen, who's a talented young man. Very good.
Is he as good as Somni?
Well, I don't know about that.
We love giving Chris problems. So he's one of our favorites. But
he's the most talented 16-year-old I've ever seen.
Well, I tell you what, Andy, thank you oh so much. We're going to be calling Phil. You got any words of wisdom you want us to pass along to Phil for you?
No. Tell him to sit down and draw those Ant-Man pages.
All right, will do. Andy, always a pleasure. And make sure to let us know when the new book's coming out, and we'll make sure to have you on about it.
All right, take care, guys. Have fun.
Okay, bye-bye, Andy.
All right, bye-bye.
Andy Parks, running joke.
No.
Hey,
Andy's so cool. I mean, you know, that's unbelievable. And not to, like, you know, I don't want to get into this show being all about us, and because it's not what the point of it. Yeah, it is a little late already, but just to think that a guy like him who, you know, like I said, 3 years ago, I was a huge Phil Hester and Andy Parks fan, and it's like now he listens to our show while he's working on the pages.
He listens to our uninformed opinions.
Yeah, well, that's, you know.
Well, guys, should
my
we have...
My opinion's pretty informed.
Should we have our... hey, Mark.
I make
we're
it up well.
We are full,
full
we
of
are
shit.
Full
yeah.
Should we have our very first Around Comics guest panelist?
The first guest panelist come back?
Yeah.
Back and make a... And we haven't had him on since.
Hey, Mark Beatty.
Mark is going to walk over and...
He's like getting sketches and stuff.
Yeah, he's a kid in a candy shop.
I appreciate it,
Mr. Brady, how are you?
I'm lovely.
You are lovely.
Way back when there was this little podcast started in episode one, we talked about the local comic shop versus the online ordering, and our expert guest was one Mark Beatty from Dark Tower Comics.
And look, me and Sal are on opposite sides of the table again.
Hey, I still have nothing against good LCSs like Dark Tower, but, you know, where I grew up, where I was living, there were no Dark Tower comics.
And where do you come every Friday now?
And I buy comics every Friday.
But you haven't stopped buying from your little online bitches.
Well,
okay, enough you two. We're here to celebrate comics, damn it.
Let's not reenact the...
It's just, I can't have another relationship that's going to go bad. My heart can't take it, Mark, and I know sooner or later I'll do something wrong and you'll hate me for it. And
do you need a hug?
No.
Okay.
Well, Mark, thank you so much. You have, you've hosted our podcast for, I don't know, like 30 episodes,
50 episodes
now or
oh,
something.
Yeah. 30?
It's,
is it 30?
It was around, what, 16, 18, something like that.
I know.
And you've
Tom,
been,
you're so enthusiastic.
I don't remember.
Tom's hungover. But hey, thank you, because it has been a lot of fun hanging out at Dark Tower every Friday. You hang around with us, and I'm sure your Friday nights are much longer than they used to be.
Way, way longer. Yeah. The latest one was at 1:30 in the morning.
can't go that long sometimes.
That was the week before the burn.
Oh.
We were here until 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, well, you know.
And then I think we went out drinking. That was probably not the best of ideas.
Well, that's Dave Walker's fault. He's always the one.
I can
come
already,
on, let's go drink.
I can already see on some forum somewhere where someone's like, all they're doing is talking about how hard it is to stay up late and talk about comic books and how awesome it is and all that.
Where?
That's funny.
Well, that's why I hate these kind of, you know, like 50. You know,
I hate our show.
I hate us.
I hate us.
Yeah, we suck.
Annoying.
We are. But what are you going to do?
This is our Stephen Gary moment.
Yeah. I've come to terms with
we're breaking up.
Self-loathing.
Yeah. We've jumped the shark. This is it.
It's American Splendor, the podcast.
We couldn't even make it over the shark. We keep tripping.
Very rarely does someone recognize the moment of which they've jumped the shark, and I think we just did.
Well, you know, I mean, at least
we're
only
30 seconds behind the curve.
At least we made it to 50 episodes before we made it all about ourselves.
It's about you. Sal, you look marvelous today.
Well, thank you.
Did you get a haircut?
No.
Oh, hey, speaking of stuff about us.
Yes.
I'm engaged
now. Wow, what a segue.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm getting to introduce yourself. I'm getting allow myself to introduce myself.
When are you Tom tying the knot? I mean.
Next April.
Yeah, he finally, Chris,
who's wearing
finally,
the dress between you two?
Now, okay, here's the full story on, we went to a baseball game months and months ago.
Yeah.
When the
White Sox were in the race.
Yeah, when the White Sox were still in the pennant race.
Was that again?
Yeah, and we went and saw a Cardinals-Sox game, and through various resources, we were able to go down into the tunnel outside of the locker room, and we got a bunch of signatures, and I told Chris, that, hey, you know, he was trying to think of a way to ask his girlfriend, Marta, to marry him. And I said, hey, you know, she's a huge White Sox fan. Get one of the White Sox players to write it on a baseball.
Juan Uribe.
No, it was Joe Creedy.
Oh, okay.
So he went up to Joe Creedy and asked Joe to do it, and he did it. Well, it's taken him from then to now to finally grow a pair of balls.
Oh, it wasn't just Joe Creedy. It was Joe and Ozzie Guillen.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Tony
you ended up, yeah, all these. But Joe actually wrote the Marta, can you or will you marry Chris?
Because I was going to ask her that night.
Joe
Creedy
was asking her.
So he finally asked her, and now he's engaged. And
yeah.
My condolences, my friend. Life is over for you.
All right.
I know soon you'll be quitting the podcast.
Tom's the only free
children.
Man in the group now.
I'm the only single man. Well, not single. I have a girlfriend.
I have a, yeah.
It's my four-year anniversary.
Sure you do.
While we're talking about ourselves, it's my four-year anniversary on Wednesday.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations, Tom.
I believe I've never seen her, so I think she's a blow-up doll.
I've met her.
She's a wonderful
Actually, I never met her, but I did see her. Tom's never actually introduced her to us.
She doesn't want to... she actually does not want to talk about comic books. So
well, I
that's
can
all
talk
right.
about
we can have we could have conversations
no,
about
I've
other things.
You. No, I'm kidding. I've seen you.
Well, guys, shall we call our next guest?
Sure. Who
Mark,
we calling?
Are we all done with Mark?
Oh God, I hope so.
Go
get a the next go get a sketch from
callous.
Francesco.
All right, guys. As we had mentioned before, let's give Mr. Hester a call.
Did you guys read any
Now Phil's actually at a con right now, isn't he?
Oh, God, no one will be able to hear anybody.
Yeah.
Good radio. Two people in loud places yelling at each other.
I emailed him yesterday. I'm like, hey, can we call you? He's like, yeah, sure. But I think he's actually
Phil
at a con.
Phil was our very first interview.
Phil was our first
I never
creator,
taught. I wasn't there.
Where were
Hello?
You?
Hello, it's Phil there.
Right here.
Hey. Oh, no. Hey, Phil,
Hello?
This is Chris from Around Comics. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, we're at a con. What are you doing?
I'm signing comic books and drawing sketches for people at Cup of Kryptonite in Des Moines, Iowa.
Hey, there you go. Awesome. We just got off the phone with Andy. He says hi.
Oh, well, I talk to him. I talk to him every day.
He wants you to finish those Ant-Man pages. He's getting bored, he said.
I can't quite hear you. There's so many people here.
He said that he wants you to get back home and finish up those Ant-Man pages.
I brought them with me, to be honest. So if there's ever a lull, I can get to it.
There you go. Well, hey, we wanted to give you a call because this is our 50th episode, and way back when, about, what, episode 10 or so, you were our very first interview.
Uh-huh.
And we wanted to thank you for that and for...
Well, thank you.
...just doing all the great comics.
Congratulations to you guys on reaching such a milestone.
Of wasting so much time with our...
It's not like we could have got canceled.
It was a labor of love.
Yeah, it's like 50 episodes... No one could listen, and we could still, have celebrated it.
I don't know. I put it right up there with Bendis and Bagley on 100 episodes of Ultimate Spider-Man.
100 episodes of Ultimate Spider-Man. Big deal.
It's equivalent.
Hey.
You guys want to talk? I'm sitting right next to Tony Moore. Do you want to
say hi to Tony.
All right. Yeah, we'll yell at him.
Hang on a second. Yeah. Hey guys.
Hey Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
See, I told you we'd get you on the phone one of these days.
There we go. Yeah. Hey, we'll do it for real one of these soon.
Absolutely. I think we're talking with you and Rick sometime in November. So
there we go.
All right.
There we go.
Hey, we actually just announced our Exterminators contest today.
Sweet, yeah.
Yeah, so want to do everything that we can to promote that book.
Yeah.
We love it.
Money?
Yeah, are you all caught up with Exterminators?
I'm working on Exterminators 13 right now, and that's about it. I'm wrapping up a Goon story that should have been done a while ago for Goon Noir number 2, I think it is. And that was going to be a good issue because it's got Larry Barda and Kevin Nolan in it. And so it should be pretty sweet. But other than that, that's about it. Same stuff.
Well, the big question is, have you finished off that bottle of bourbon from Wizard World Chicago?
Yeah, we've been working on that. Andy Parks came over and helped me out with that a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't think it's long for this world.
The morning is passing.
That's awesome.
It's gone to a better place.
Well, Tony, we'll talk with you sometime in November once you get out from under the mountain a little bit. But I tell you what, is Phil there? We want to shout at him for just a minute, and we'll touch base with you in just a little while.
All right. Yeah, I'll put you back with him.
Here you All go. Right. Thanks,
Tony. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm back.
Hello.
Hey, Phil, we just wanted to say hello again, and there's somebody here that wanted to say hi. I think somebody you know, he's coming over to the table right now. Mike Huddleston's here.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
You owe me $200.
Does Phil owe you any money or anything?
I think so. I think so. Is that Phil the one right now?
Oh, yeah.
No. Anymore. Phil's not here.
Okay. How's it going, man?
Hey, what are you up to?
I'm sitting at this MIDI convention.
Are you guys all at SPX?
No.
Well, where are you?
I'm in Chicago.
Phil, we did a mini convention here for our 50th episode, and Mike was nice enough to come by.
We're sort of at a mini convention too, but it's in Des Moines, so it's not quite as grand, I'm sure, as your scene.
Well, this is just 2 blocks from my house. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty convenient.
We're actually going over to his house later to drink afterwards. Yeah. I think that's the plan.
I see. Well, that'll make it a real con.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. There's no comments about booze.
Yeah.
All right, Phil. Well, we just wanted to say thank you for coming on. You were our first guest on the podcast, and, you know, we're all...
I'm sorry. Well, you never forget your first.
You were gentle.
And it's been all uphill.
But
all right, guys. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you sometime later.
All right, big cuddles to be good.
All right, see you, Phil.
All right, bye.
All right, thanks, Phil.
Where are you? Where are we?
Yeah, he's like, where are you at? What are you at SPX? He
thought. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, while we've got the young man over here.
Sure.
Mr. Huddleston, how you doing?
Oh, doing all right.
Thank you for coming on out.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is cool.
Nutty.
It's much more impressive than I thought it was going to be. I'm like, who's going to, you know, we didn't really do a whole lot of press or anything for it. You know, this is the first time we've ever had kind of a signing.
I had no idea what to expect, you know.
This is what happens whenever you start sending out an email here or there, and the next thing you know, you're in a comic shop.
Yeah.
There's 100 people.
You're in an empty store. A bunch of other cult-like people.
Well, this is a ton better than, like, a lot of other signings I've done.
Really?
Yeah, like, I did a signing for it's a shop in New York, and, like, we were up there for, like, the big New York show, and they had, like, a bunch of big people. It was, like, me and Mahfood and the New York City Met guys, and I mean, just a ton of big guys, and it was death. It was, like,
really?
No one, like, not a single person came for, and we were just there for hours.
I just to meet Ivan.
That was my biggest, like, nightmare, you know, scenario. Was like, no one's going to show up. We invite all you guys out to come out, and you're nice enough to take it.
Yeah.
And after, and it's like, and nobody showed. Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, and, you know, and we're going to do a podcast as they're all just standing around, you know.
All the,
you know,
artists even if that happens,
though. See, that's the thing is, even if it happens and no one comes, the artists are usually like, hey, how's it going? You know, they haven't met each other, and they check out each other's stuff. And we had a good time, you know, even at the New York one, but it was just us, you know, checking out each other's stuff.
Well, Andrew Peeboy, who
Jack Fables was, he's not able to be here today because he's got like 16 pages to ink in between now and Thursday. And and it's not that he was bummed about not being able to make the signing for selling product or sketches or whatnot. He's bummed because he's not going to be able to come and hang out with everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, I know a bunch of the guys there and I really want to come. Yeah. So I know that he wasn't just blowing us
I'm
off.
I'm really looking forward to our murder mystery party later tonight where we all try.
Who killed Francesco? Is that?
Who killed Francesco? Well, Mike, I guess we should. We may want to talk about Mike's work.
Yeah, well, Mike, you know, okay. You're the artist on The Coffin and yeah. Deep Sleeper, and what else?
I just finished a Man Bat miniseries for DC, and last year I did a series called Nemivore for Vertigo. So I've been doing mostly like DC work lately.
How did you initially get hooked up with Phil for the two
Coffin?
Yeah, for The Coffin.
I just put like a book together that was like a little promotional book. You know, I self-printed a book and I was taking it around to shows. And I knew Phil a little bit through Jim Afu because Jim inked some of Phil's stuff back in the day. And so at a convention, I just went over and talked to Phil and I'm like, hey, here's a book of what I'm doing. And he's like, hey, I'm getting ready to pitch this project called The Coffin. Why don't you come on as an artist for it?
Wow.
And that was it. You know, and then we pitched it to a ton of companies and Tony picked it up and that was it.
The rest is history.
Yeah. Are you only allowed to do Phil's really creepy stuff, though?
That's all Phil writes.
Only creepy.
Which is weird, because if you know Phil personally,
he looks like an accountant.
He's like an Iowa.
Nothing against accountants, Tom.
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah.
Sorry.
He's just the most mild-mannered guy who lives on this little town in Iowa, and you know he's so like normal.
Which hides
stuff.
Well, actually,
dead bodies and
his arm. How nice Phil is. What's that, the show on? I think it's on ABC, the Dream House thing, or the
Extreme House
Makeover.
Oh yeah.
There was a fire at a farmhouse in Iowa, and one of the kids of this family was a huge comic book fan, and someone on the show found out that Phil was an Iowa resident, and he spent like 2 days.
Yeah, it was a while.
When they rebuilt this house, making the ultimate comic book room for this kid.
Yeah, and I'm waiting to see that. That's airing, I think, later this month, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there some magical barrier that keeps women out of there, then?
Comic book room. But that's the kind of person that Phil Hester is. And, but he writes really creepy stuff.
He's got a little Stephen King in him. You
yes,
know,
he
you
does.
Look at you know,
yes, he does.
I think it's because he doesn't drink.
He's got nowhere to put all those.
Like, I think maybe you need to. You know, I think some of that sober's really had an effect. You know,
sitting in the coffin, just staring at the wall, thinking about creepy stuff.
Yeah,
instead of drinking.
Yeah, The Coffin's a great book.
Oh, it certainly is. An awesome book. And
He's intimidating because he's such a good writer and he's such a good artist.
Yeah.
And especially at the beginning, like when we did The Coffin, like, he writes, like he'll just thumbnail out the whole book and send it to me with a script.
It's like, why don't you just draw this
down? I know. And he doesn't do it anymore, but he did at the beginning. And, you know, I've got my own way that I approach stuff.
Sure.
But he's so good. Like, once you see it solved, it's hard to it's hard to think of it differently because he's so solid. So
yeah.
He's been like my older brother, uncle, just like mentor throughout this whole, comic career thing. He's fantastic.
He's outstanding.
Well, you could certainly do worse than Phil. That's
and
for sure.
We're pitching another project together right now that we've got in front of a couple companies called Deathless that I'm hoping is going to be like my next project, but I just have to wait and see which pitch comes down first.
Sure. Cool. Sure. That's the whole behind the scenes part of it. Is you're grinding away working and then you got to pitch the next project.
Oh yeah, I've got like 8 pitches out right now. So in like several of them seem like they may happen, but you know you never really know until someone finally says okay, you can start.
Yeah, go for it.
Being in Chicago, do you find it more difficult to try and get work out or get work because there's not publishers here in Chicago as opposed to New York or?
No, I've only been in Chicago for like a couple months.
Oh, okay.
I came from St. Louis, so for me, Chicago is just like a world of connections compared to, St. Louis.
Okay.
Watching the game tonight?
No.
You're not a Cardinal fan. You're not from St. Louis.
I am.
Liar.
Yeah, but I'm not.
We're out in St. Louis.
I lived up in North County.
St.
Louis County.
Central.
I was born in Florida.
My mom worked at the
Cardinal Cats.
Florida.
There you go. And then I lived on the south side on just off Chippewa over by Ted Drews.
Yeah.
So. Ted Drews. All right. You got St. Louis guys.
I always tell people about Ted Drews because with the shakes and they had to turn up
the concrete.
Yeah. If any of it came out, you got it for free. So.
The greatest concoction ever on the face of the earth.
Is that right?
It's awesome. It is awesome. You know, there's that's another scene. There's some great St. Louis area guys. I think was Brian Hurt down in St. Louis?
Yes.
And Chris Somney and Cullen Bunn, who are doing the Damned.
That's where Mott was from originally, too.
Okay. And then across the state, you know, we always talk about the Kansas City group there. It's just...
Kansas City Mafia.
Well, it's funny because I'm from St. Louis. And then Jim Mopper and I met at the Kansas City Art Institute.
Okay.
And so, like, we were some of the first people that actually got, like, the whole, like, comic scene really started in Kansas City.
Wow.
Yeah, because, like Jim, like, that's where he was still living.
I'm going to tell Andy Parks you said that.
You can tell him. I know Andy really well. But, yeah, it's like, that's, Jim was living in Kansas City when he first got hooked up with Kevin Smith and all that stuff, so.
Awesome. Well, Mike, I want to get you back to the people that are going to buy your book.
Okay.
And I'll extend it. I know that Sal and Tom will agree. If you live so close, any Friday night, drop by.
You guys do the same every Friday night?
7 to 9 every Friday night for 50 episodes now.
It's
usually 7 to like 11:30.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'll come by because, for real, it's like 2 blocks away.
Anytime, man.
Any Friday night, you're more than welcome.
All right,
and we can sit down and talk more about, you know, your work and try and... This is a little crazy, so it's a little hard. But
I'll come by.
Yeah, we always have a good time.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right.
Be sure to stay inside and listen to AroundComics.com, especially during daylight hours. Seriously, it's spring, and the glint off your pasty white comic geek skin could blind someone.
All right, well, guys, we decided to move things into the boiler room at Dark Tower Comics.
We didn't want to give everyone a headache for listening to 3 hours of screaming.
The signing was much more successful than we thought it was going to be.
Absolutely.
And, it got a little noisy, so we decided to move things into...
Tony Moore, I can hardly hear you.
Where are you? What? I can imagine.
Great
excitement.
Radio. Great podcast,
great
radio. Guys.
Great podcasting, guys.
Now Tom is sitting next to a boiler and a furnace.
I got a fuse box next to me.
So can you guys believe this?
It's pretty amazing. I my biggest fear was that nobody was going to show up and, like, Francesco is just going to be staring at me as I'm trying to record a podcast the whole
time. Thanks for wasting my day.
Yeah, exactly.
Glaring at us. Like,
that was my biggest fear. But
a room of
Yeah, like, we actually had creators show up that... I didn't even know about. That's Tony Akins, the guy who draws Jack Fables, showed up. So I thought that was very cool. And yes, Mark?
Someone wants water.
Oh, yeah, there's...
someone wants water.
There's water in the blue cooler over there. So besides being podcasters, we're also event coordinators. Well, guys, should we call one of our other favorite guests here?
Yes. Sure. John Byrne. John. No, I'm kidding.
I don't.
We should be surprised. Call John Byrne.
John.
Don't drunk dial John Byrne.
Hey, John.
Actually, ask for John Byrne.
To Matt?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Hello, is John Byrne there? Matt?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it's Sal from Around Comics. How you doing, man?
Hey, man. What's going on?
We're at our 50th episode recording party, and we have a room full of comic book creators and fans.
Craziness.
And it's just insane. And so we just figured, you know, what the only thing that can make it better is a call to Matt Fraction.
Well, I want you to know your mother and I are very proud that you boys have done 50 shows. You're always going to be our special little guys, and you just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll be here for you.
It's a very special episode of Around Comics. Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon, and I'm fucking balls deep in work and homework, so, you know, it's awesome.
Are you able to do it out on the back porch or anything, or are you trapped inside?
That would just remind me that I have to mow the backyard. I'm doing it inside. I don't know how much longer I have in me. I might have to go play hooky soon. I don't know.
Well, you're a busy guy now. I mean, you're just coming out book after book. You know, when we first talked to you, it was like, you know, we got this guy, Matt Fraction, that, you know, is doing this book called Casanova. And then that's, next thing I know, you're like the superstar Marvel comic book writer. I mean, what happened?
So you got the check.
Yeah.
What's it like to drive a Rolls Royce?
It's shiny. it's actually a little deceptive, just because, you know, War Journal has been sort of in progress for a while.
Yeah, could you come out on time with that one,
because
please?
Because of all the Civil War stuff has sort of pushed it back.
Yeah, did you call him Mark Millar and just tell him he's a fucker for making you late on your, you know, big premiere book?
I called, but the piles of money were in the way, and I don't think he could get to the phone.
Where's his phone underneath all these piles of $100 bills?
It's actually like, I mean, you guys remember the money bin from, like, yeah, Scrooge McDuck? It's like that.
Only swimming.
Only Scottish. Well, I guess that would be Scottish to begin with.
Yes. You said Scottish.
I just wrapped up, like, War Journal 5, you know what I mean? Like, I'm nice and ahead on everything there. It's just sort of, it looks like all this stuff is happening at once, but in fact, it's been a very bizarre series of events to make it all look like it's happening spontaneously.
Oh, I bet. That's got to be an editing nightmare. So, have you talked Brevard off the ledge yet?
You know, it's all been out of Axel's office for me, and I have very little I've talked to Tom a couple times, but it's been, you know, very sort of, you know, I've been dealing with Axel, so Tom's on his own. I hope only that he has the love and support of his friends and family to bring him back in. I don't know, man. It's somebody else's problem as far as I'm concerned.
I hear ya. So how's the returns on Casanova looked for you? I know that it's done well in our store. Is the book doing well right now?
Yeah, we're doing, it started, you know, there's the sort of traditional drop between 1 and 2, but we've upticked pretty much every month since. So, you know, people are finding it, and people are reading it, and I hope liking it. So, yeah, it's been really well and really flattering. So,
one of the things
we're just going to keep on keeping on.
You know what I really like about it is you can pick up any issue, really, and you don't have to start from the beginning, because you'll probably just be kind of confused anyway, even if you've been reading it the whole time. You'll have to read it twice.
Right, it's not going to make any more sense if you've been on it.
Yeah, it will make no more sense if you read it, yeah. Which is good. Hey, I enjoy it.
I got a bone to pick with you, by the way.
Okay, what's that?
The story in 24/7.
Are you seriously a fucking Cardinals fan?
Yes.
I'm a Cardinals fan.
He's like, you were right in your ears.
What, Cubs beat Cards?
You stabbed me in the heart. You stabbed me in the heart. You weren't even like the White Sox. You went to the Cardinals.
I'm a White Sox fan, so that's Chris. He's from St. Louis. You know, what are you going to do with him?
You take him out back and shoot him like a mad dog, like a Rip Yeller.
Hey, Matt. After the show tonight, I'm going to be watching my team in the NLCS. What are you doing tonight?
I'm going to be watching a team lose the NLCS.
He'll be writing a hit comic book.
Sweet, like cinnamon.
Seriously.
All of St. Louis smells like it. Like it's an ambulatory beer fart. Cardinals fan is the worst in the world.
Well, thank you.
I can't wait. I can't wait to watch you people defeated yet again. See, I'm a Cubs fan. Motherfucker, I'm used to losing. I got 100 years of it under my belt. Not making the World Series again don't mean shit to me, y'all, because it's been like 1907 since the last time we had a taste of that.
Well, you know, no, it's not that bad. I think.
You guys are like Charlie Brown with the football, you know? Fucking Lucy yanks it out of your way every time, and you just get upset again and again, and it's glorious for all of the rest of us.
You know, to be fair, the last time the Cubs were in the World Series was just World War II, so it hasn't been that long.
That's true. Maybe my grandparents might remember it. I don't know. They really were the greatest generation, though.
Yeah, but I tell you, I'm reading 24/7, and I get to your story. Was that the last story in the anthology? Were you the very last one?
It was, yeah. I had nothing to do with its placement, but it ended up being the last one, yeah.
And you want to talk about coming down off of a high. I read the whole book, and then I get to your story that I'm looking for, and I'm like, oh, cool, the Fraction story. I'm like, Cubs beat Cardinals 11-6. I'm like, what a fucker.
Yeah.
Watch out.
What can I say? I spread my love everywhere I can.
He's going to have the Punisher shoot all the Cardinals.
Albert Pujols.
I was actually trying to figure out if there's a way that like something bad could happen to St. Louis.
Damn.
Well, I'd be like, oh man, did you hear about St. Louis? Yeah, it was pretty fucked up. So what do you want to get for dinner? Oh, I don't know.
Nice. Well, I think you could have Nitro come back, you know, and
stop. Okay. Next
and just thing. Pump them up on some
MGH.
Yeah, some MGH. And
I promise you, if in fact God is dead and the Cardinals make it to the World Series and God remains dead and the Cardinals win the World Series, I am going to level St. Louis. I'm making this promise to you right now. Spoiler alert, folks at home. I swear to God, I don't know how, but I will bury St. Louis until an editor tells me that I can't, which would probably be the second ever I propose it. But don't think I'm not going to try.
You can always fit it into Casanova.
Yeah.
You're going to...
Oh, that's true. That's true. I can make it really sick and meaningful that way, too. In Punisher, I would totally make it like an afterthought.
In Casanova, you can make it a reoccurring joke that St. Louis gets destroyed every issue.
It would be like Kenny on South Park.
Well, or you could
St. Louis. Hey, let's get high.
You could do it where like St. Louis can only be saved if the Cardinals win the World Series, but unfortunately they never can. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about it.
Tell you what, the way that Detroit is swinging the bats right now, I don't think it's going to matter. So
it's a baseball cat.
Yeah.
These guys are monsters, aren't they?
They're unbelievable. They're pretty impressive. It's,
what
pisses me off is Minnesota ruins the White Sox chances of getting into the playoffs
and
then pisses it away. You know, they couldn't win one fucking game.
I admit, like with the exception of the division's been a really uneventful, it's been kind of a weak postseason for me. I kind of don't care about anybody except the Cardinals losing, and
I gotta say, it's been pretty entertaining for me, Matt.
I love the commercials that they have with Tommy Lasorda, which basically are saying, please watch the playoffs.
The best is when there's the Cub fan in the tree, and he's like, what team does he root for? And his wife says, the Cubs. And Lasorda goes, ooh.
Yeah. I like the one with the Red Sox girl, like, crying in the bathroom. It's true to, like, the Red Sox character. Like, they win once, and now it's going to, like, come on now.
It's almost worse that they won.
Oh, says the White Sox fan.
Victory. And now another 80 years of failure.
All right. Enough baseball talk.
Iron Fist.
Long podcast.
Yes, Iron Fist. No more booties? Is that what we hear?
Yeah, the booty issue remains a controversial... I look forward to burning up lots and lots of pages with the booty, no booty issue sort of exploration.
You know, we talked to John Byrne, and he's going to kick your ass for that.
Yeah, I was actually wondering what that the other day. Like, boy, I wonder if John Byrne should get pissed off. Like, that's how you know you've made it in Marvel, when you piss John Byrne off.
I can see this great sequence of panels of Iron Fist, like, no words on the page, just looking at the booties. Like, wondering if he's going to put them on today. If today's the day he's not going to wear them.
He's going to go bootyless?
Right. It'll be like Daniel LaRusso putting on the Rising Sun headband as the Karate Kid. That's when you know he's serious. You know that you're the best around, that's going to ever keep you down song, plays in the background as Iron Fist puts on his special gold sock of ass whoop.
What do I have a feeling that Matt knows the words to that entire song? You do, don't you?
Yeah, actually, I can play it. If you like, give me a second, I can play it for you. I have it on my iPod just for special moments.
Big Peter Cetera fan, are you, Matt?
Actually, I have the South Park version because it's actually a lot faster.
Oh, you're the
and
best.
It's sort of how you were, like, do you remember the baseball episode of South Park?
Yes.
But there was a wedding montage, and they did like basically a cover version of that song, but it was a lot faster. Why am I talking about this?
We have no idea, but
he stopped me like half an hour ago. Jesus Christ!
Well,
you should keep this on an iPod and have it with you at all times. Every now and again, you can play it in public, and it's really funny.
Well, I don't know if you noticed the additional voice that just popped in, but John Centris is with us today too.
Fraction.
Uh, Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. I swear to God, we're going to play that Word Balloon episode with you. We were just holding it back because of War Journal being delayed.
Yeah, I figured it was coming in November anyway, so no worries.
Okay, cool. I didn't want to give you a complex.
Did it again?
I didn't want to give you a complex.
Okay, what's that?
You know, like a an inferiority complex that I'm like, oh yeah, we did it, that's great. And then
I don't think he thinks about it.
Yeah, he doesn't care. So that's good. Well, that's good.
No, he's sitting there with a blank page in the typewriter, going, when is Sanchez going to play that episode?
It's my want to name drop on this show, so I have to say that I in my interview with Joe Quesada that I just did, we were both raving about how excited we are that you're doing War Journal, and we really look forward to it.
That's awesome. I'm really happy with the first five, so
cool.
And it just gets even more berserk from there. So
hey, when you get the sixth one done, can you just send me them all in a trade format so I can just read them before the end of the year, maybe?
I don't know. You know, sure, why not? For you?
Sure, no problem.
Okay. Who cares? Whatever.
Yeah, just email it to us, and we won't distribute it out on the net.
No, no.
The preview Iron Fist art looks great that Joe put up the Newsarama a couple weeks ago.
You guys, David Aja is going to be a superstar.
You said that about Gabriel Ba.
And have I lied?
No,
he's pretty freaking good.
I am the stupidest, luckiest bastard in all of comics to work with the artists I've worked with. I just up in Matt Hollingsworth is doing the coloring.
Excellent.
It's unbelievably great.
I suggest you use that blurb on your books. The dumbest, luckiest bastard ever.
I keep trying to get them to put that on the covers, and Axel is like, nah, maybe next month. I'm always like, okay, boss, whatever you say. And then,
Hey,
I was reminded, put it in the solicitation copy. It never shows up in previews. I think those sons of bitches are lying to me.
No, Marvel would never lie.
Did you pick up the giant-sized Wolverine that had Aja's artwork in it? It was gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. You are a dumb lucky bastard because he's awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, the only thing I had seen was the pages of Ed, of the Daredevil issue he did with Ed.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, until you're actually writing for somebody and kind of doing it yourself and then seeing how the pages come back, you really don't know where you're at. It's just incredible stuff.
No, we're looking forward to Danny Rand taking center stage, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he's a great character, and he's been, you know, a great guest star for the last couple of years at Marvel, and it's nice to see him finally, you know, get his own book.
As long as we make it to 16, we'll be fine. You know, that's the goal. It's just, let's make it longer than the first series, and we'll be in good shape.
Oh, I think you'll be all right. I don't think there's going to be a problem.
Well, it's we look forward to everything that you've got coming out in the next few months. I'm still bummed that War Journal has kind of been pushed back because of the whole Civil War thing. So when does that hit stands?
I think the last I heard, the way it's coming out, I believe War Journal comes out 1 week in November, and then Iron Fist is out the next week.
Oh.
Well, I tell you, we'll have to get you on the show.
If I can somehow coordinate with Image and get a Casanova issue out the week after that, then, you know.
You're good to go. You got to get the whole month covered.
Yeah,
they need one more book.
Fraction. All month.
Fraction-ember.
Fraction-ember? December is fraction month.
Now, I want him just to come out with the Kick-Splode t-shirts, man. That's what I'm looking for from you, Matt.
I know, right? Where are they? Where is the marketing? We'll get there. You know,
all right.
Where is it?
All right, well, Matt.
Somebody's getting a Casanova tattoo.
You're shitting me. Really?
Somebody wrote and asked if I could send him the Waste logo so he could get it tattooed.
Oh, God.
Are you fucking insane? He's like, no, I swear, I like the book, and the design of the logo is really gorgeous, and I want to do it. So, somewhere, some crazy bastard is putting Casanova ink on his body, and that's going to be a thing to behold.
How do the royalties work on tattoos, Fraction? Yeah, well, what do you get? Do you get skin grafts payments? What do you get for that, actually?
I think he's actually getting it on his sack, so I don't know.
So keep the change, in other words. You're not interested.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to tell me he did it. I don't want to see it. That's just gross.
Well, Matt, thanks so much, man. We have, you know, like I said, from Casanova on, we've just loved everything you're doing. And
before that,
Yes, five-fifths of science. Go by.
Last of the Independents. You name it.
What?
Everything. Well, he said, you know, we love everything since Casanova. And I'm like, hell, before that.
Well, yeah, I just...
We like everything.
We started talking to him.
Well, thank you very much for all the support and the love, and happy 50th show.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know what, let's do it again in November.
Absolutely. Can you send Koei Sue our love, because she's just a wonderful person?
She is. She really is. She's God's most special angel.
No. Matt, thank you so much.
She's pretty here to put down her business cards, and she doesn't, so whatever.
Special angel.
Special. Koei Sue, special
God's
angel.
God's most special.
God's most special angel.
All right. Well, good, sir. Thank you so much. You go mow the lawn.
Oh,
bastards.
Sorry,
man.
Time,
guys.
Take it easy.
Later. See you,
Matt. Bye-bye. Dude, St. Louis is getting smoked in Casanova.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hopefully it's going to win the World Series, so I'm totally hoping that St. Louis gets smoked in Casanova.
Every single one, there's a time loop where St. Louis gets destroyed.
I think it should just be like some sort of genetic disease that anyone that's ever, you know, been, you know, born or lived in St. Louis is going to die in Casanova at some point.
Hey, if that's what it takes for the Cardinals to win the World Series.
How did we get... That was hilarious. We're talking to Matt, you know, for 10 minutes about baseball.
Do you dial 1 for an international code?
You dial 011.
I don't know.
You dial 011.
011, and then the international code.
011.
Yeah, you learn something new every week on this podcast.
That's right. We're informing. It's edutainment. It's edutainment.
So that, like, you know, Mission Impossible can't break the code and, like, call.
Oh, yeah. People will be calling.
Yeah,
hey, how's it going? I know it's 3 in the morning your time, but I get your number.
I listened to a podcast, and they pretty much told me your phone number. Well, all I had to do was listen to it 100 times.
Phone bill.
Your service agreement does not allow calling number dial.
Well, apparently, I guess we're not going to call. You got the cheap
Somebody
ass service,
spent
huh?
Too much money on
international
beer and hookers.
On comic books.
On comics, they can't
Chris
afford an
can't
international
afford
call.
Foreign phone calls.
Well, we were going to call Kieran Gillen, but I guess that's not going to happen.
Sorry, Kieran.
We should have called Simon.
Oh,
I didn't even think
call
about
Simon.
Yeah, he's probably awake.
You know what? I may just call him anyway. Let's call Jim.
Jim McCann?
Yep.
Talk to him about soaps?
Yeah.
About Guiding Light?
Sure. Is Jim going to be writing that for him?
Yeah, I sent him an email and asked if he'd be able to talk to us a little
sure.
bit.
Sure.
So...
Is this not in
but is he
going to
be writing the book?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's writing the Guiding Light.
Oh,
one
great.
Of them, at least.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's great.
Hello, it's Jim there.
Speaking.
Hey, Jim, it's Chris from Around Comics. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right. You're
We're all
going to
talk like this now.
Right?
Oh, sorry, what was that, Jim?
I said this is the anniversary show, yeah?
Yes, it is.
For 50.
Excellent.
But we still
50 episodes of not quitting. 50 weeks of not quitting.
If you hear some background noise, it's because we put together a little signing here at our local comic shop.
It's like a buzzing when you guys talk.
That's just our natural inflection. We're electric.
That's the insectoid voice.
Well, for anybody that doesn't know, this is Jim McCann. What is your official title at Marvel, Jim?
The official title is the Assistant Manager of Sales Communication. But basically, I just try and get the word out through great podcasts like this and the Internet and TV and paper, newspaper, and all that for Marvel Comics.
That's right. And Jim...
through microfiche. That's the next land.
I don't read it unless it's on microfiche. So.
And Jim was so instrumental in helping us get some terrific interviews and information from Marvel and our, you know, press releases and all that good stuff. And we just wanted to call and say hi and thank you for all the help.
If you ever see anyone running around at the speed of light at a comic book convention, it's Jim McKinney.
Yeah, the busiest man at a con, that's for sure.
Or if you ever see anybody pass out in the middle of a conversation in the hotel lobby at night, it's probably me, too.
Or me.
Which I think I accidentally did with you guys in Chicago as well.
You were pretty worn out. You had a lot of work on your plate those 3 days.
You know, it's all for you guys. And so, you know, I mean, You guys get you guys do all of this out of pure love, and I've got great love for Marvel and for the medium. So it's just great to work with people who have that same experience, that same feeling about the wonderful world of comics.
Well, that was certainly the first thing after meeting you that I realized is that, you know, you're not just a guy that works for Marvel. You're obviously a huge fan of the work that's coming out there and comics in general, and that really comes off in your enthusiasm.
Thank you. It is definitely, I'm not ashamed to say that I am living my dream life. I do have my dream job, and I can't believe that it actually happened. I have to pinch myself every once in a while, but, Marvel hired me, and I'm still thanking whoever has Blackmail Pictures that got me that job.
Now you're going to be a writer soon. I should say you had already done the backup story, but tell us a little bit about the whole Guiding Light.
Well, it's actually funny. I was actually at the Guiding Light fan club luction today to try and educate those guys on how to find a comic book, because basically what's happening is on November 1st, Guiding Light is doing a special Inside the Light episode of Guiding Light. What that means is on their Wednesday episodes, anything can and will happen. And in fact, one of their characters is going to get superpowers on the show on Wednesday. So on Wednesday, November 1st. And it's really kind of cool. For people who have been watching the show, who may have heard, for the past month and a half, they've been seeding all sorts of Marvel mentions. Some of the characters are becoming Marvel Comics fans, and it's been really kind of cool to see these little Easter eggs, and this episode is filled with it. I got to see a rough cut of the episode yesterday, and, it's old-school fun. Just fun, honestly. It's a great episode. And then I got to write an 8-page story, since due to the film licenses and things like that, it would be far more difficult for our characters to appear on their show than for their characters to appear in our comics. They gave us permission and let me do all sorts of horrible things to their characters in the pages of Marvel. I had a blast writing it. It's kind of part two of that episode. It starts showing up in comics on October 25th and runs for about 4 weeks. Marvel.com has information on it, and Guiding Light is going to be kind enough to advertise Marvel Comics on air.
Wow.
For about 5 weeks, which is really cool. And
that is awesome.
Because,
do I have to watch Guiding Light from the beginning?
I can't.
You have to go back to 1934 to do that. He has to watch Guiding Light from the beginning to understand what's going on.
No, unfortunately, you don't. This episode is very much a standalone, a one-shot, if you will, to speak in our people's terms.
I've got some continuity issues with Guiding Light right now that maybe we could clear up.
Honest to God, at the fan club luncheon today, one of the first questions somebody asked was, will this episode be in continuity?
See? Not so different. Not
their
so
fans
different.
And our fans are very similar.
That's great, man. Hey, and it's cool that Guiding Light in particular has really embraced a lot of new media ideas. Comics isn't necessarily a new idea, but it is from a marketing standpoint. But I was just reading in the Tribune last week about the Guiding Light podcast and everything that the Guiding Light is really trying to do to kind of organize and mobilize. And it's amazing. It is the oldest soap opera that's been on broadcasting, and it goes back to the years of old-time radio as well.
Old-timey.
It is. They're actually, in January, they're going to be celebrating their 70th year. It is the oldest drama. It's the oldest television program.
Amazing.
It's the oldest soap opera. So they just recently taped their 15,000th episode.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I had no idea.
I knew that through the whole Firefly box set yet. So,
where's the omnibus?
1,000 episodes. So, they face a lot of the same things that we do. They face trying to tell stories to keep their fans happy while attracting new fans. That sounds familiar to anybody who's read a comic book and works in the comic industry. But Guiding Light is really... they're very forward-thinking and just want to do as much as possible to try and attract a new generation of viewers.
Jim,
and I think this episode will definitely hopefully help that. And you know what? Set your DVRs, set your VCRs, or if you're at home, just turn it on to CBS on November 1st, and you'll at least get a kick out of it. Anybody who's a fan of any of the Spider-Man or X-Men movies, or even some of the older serials of superhero serials, that's what it actually kind of harkens back to. It's just fun.
That's really cool. And you have a soap opera background. Wasn't it One Life to Live that you used to work with as well, Jim?
I do, yes. I started in ABC Daytime in the writer development program, just learning how to tell serialized stories, and I can't tell you how much that helped. That helped, you know, translate that into comics. You know, growing up with Marvel Comics, I know the characters, but that doesn't necessarily mean I know how to write them. So fortunately, they gave me a great background in telling serialized adventures, and so it's been amazing to take two passions that I've had all my life, and the two things I moved to New York to do, which were work at Marvel and work in soaps, and I thought that I might be able to do both at the same time. I just didn't realize on the same project.
Yeah. Well, we like our stories. I just gotta go home and watch my stories.
Well, I always called the X-Men the longest running soap opera in comics, so it's not that big of a jump. So.
Oh, completely. I mean, the Dark Phoenix saga is totally a classic soap story.
Sure. Well, I gotta give Marvel a lot of credit. Over the last, you know, couple of years, it seems like they've really, you know, broadened the spectrum on what they're looking to publish, you know, from this kind of thing to the, you know, the different horror stuff that they're doing, all, you know, the new revamp of the Max line,
which
looks, you know, the Dable Brothers now, that stuff that's coming out. I mean, Marvel seems to be really diversifying what they're doing, and you know, is this sort of the beginning of Marvel realizing that, you know, there's not just superheroes in the world?
Well, you know, honestly, it's the fact that there are so many people out there looking for serialized stories. I mean, look at Grey's Anatomy, the success of, look at this whole entire season of new television shows. Serialized storytelling is out there and it's popular, and comics are a part of that. There's so many ways to grow this industry, and, you know, we can sit around and talk about it and say, oh, well, yes, Joss Whedon on Astonishing X-Men, that's been great. But that's still only going to attract the people who aren't afraid of people with claws and IBs. But, you know, then you've got a book like Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane, or even this Hopper crossover. The biggest thing that we've got to do is bring new people into the stores, which is one of the reasons why I was at the fan club luncheon today, because it's all well and good to put this stuff out there, but until we start educating people on how to find a comic shop and get them into our local comic shop retailers, it's all just talk. So I'm glad to see that Marvel is committed to doing a lot of this and really trying to grow the market for everybody.
Who are the artists on this Guiding Light project?
Say what?
Who are your artists for this project for Guiding Light?
Udon did the art. Alex Chung did the pencils. And I swear to God, it's obviously dealing with Procter & Gamble and a television series. You would think that it would have been very, very difficult, but it honestly wasn't. However, getting the list of approved characters to use, everybody actually on the show wanted to be written into the comic. Unfortunately, there's only so many panels that can be done in 8 pages. Once the list was pared down, and then when we found out when these files had to leave house, just from a printing perspective, we had about 2.5 weeks to get the whole thing done. And, I mean, those guys, from the minute they got the script, they were constantly working on this. The Procter & Gamble people gave very little notes. They nailed it. Actually, I think I had them change more than CBS or Procter & Gamble asked for. And, you know, I'd send a note at 8 o'clock at night, and then at 8 a.m. the next morning, I'd see a revised page. So it's been great, and I really think they did a good job telling a real classic, clean look that'll be easy for a first-time comic book reader to follow the story. And also the characters, sometimes, you know, like on some of those old Star Trek comics, things like that, they kind of look creepy.
You know, they tried to get so photorealistic that it was just like, oh, God, what is that? I think they did a really good job getting a photorealistic look while still maintaining a classic comic book look.
Well, besides
if you can't tell, I'm really happy about this.
Sounds like it. Well, besides the Guiding Light and the Guiding Light comics, another way that that fans can check out Jim McCann is you are kind of the voice of the Marvel podcast. How's that been for you?
I am. It's kind of funny. I think I started because John Dokes was out of the office one day, and so I hijacked it, and I haven't let go. it's been fun. It gives me a chance to really, invite members of the media and press to, join us and talk to some of today's greatest creators and people that have such a great passion for the medium that we all work in comics. My dad actually is very excited, though, that I'm on the voice of the Marvel podcast. I didn't even realize that, but he has subscribed to them, and every Saturday his iPod, my father has an iPod, blows my mind, it updates with the latest Marvel podcast, and mind-blowing day, I got a text from my dad that said, Ultimate Spidey podcast was great. It's just like, okay, A, my father knows how to send a text, and B, he listened to an hour of people talking about Ultimate Spider-Man just to hear me basically say hello and goodbye.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jim,
God love our fans.
Yes. Well, thanks again, for three guys that have absolutely no business being regarded as press in any way. You treated us like we were, from, the New Yorker, you were just so great and gracious and helpful to us. And we just want to say thanks and good luck on everything you're doing over there at Marvel, because you're a hell of a nice guy, and we just hope to see more from you.
Guys, thank you so much, and thanks for everything that you guys do. Congratulations on 50 episodes. I can't wait to hear what episode 100 has.
We don't even want to think about it.
Probably three different guys.
All right, guys, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Jim. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Now that you've listened to the podcast, head to the forum section of AroundComics.com to post your thoughts on the show and talk with other comic fans from around the globe.
Well, we'd like to thank Jim McCann for joining us. He is a wonderful guy, and we want to thank him for all the help that he has given our little podcast. So thank you, Jim.
Thank you,
thanks,
Mr.
Thanks, Jim.
And I may actually have to check out some Guiding Light now.
That's scary.
Well, I don't know.
You're going to have to watch all of them then. Collector's mentality.
From 1934.
Yep.
Go to BitTorrent.
All right.
BitTorrent.
BitTorrent, the Guiding Light.
Are you recording right now?
Yes,
hey,
yes,
Dave.
We're recording right now.
We record by the bathroom.
But
how's it going?
Go on. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
We want to talk to some other talent right now. So that was Dave Wachter walking by. Our guest right now is Len Cody. He is the author of Cisco Kid.
That's correct.
Yeah, so now that is your previous project, which was a 3-issue miniseries, correct?
That's right, yeah. Gunfire and Brimstone, a 3-issue miniseries that came out in the second half of 2005. The last issue number 3 came out in December. One came out like in the middle of the summer at some point, and then... So yeah, that was the previous project. That's what I'm signing here today at the Minicon.
And your upcoming project is also with Moonstone.
Correct.
And it is Wyatt Earp versus the Cisco Kid?
That's right, yeah. It's Wyatt Earp versus the Cisco Kid. So it's, fun crossover, Western. Chuck Dixon, who wrote the Wyatt Earp miniseries for Moonstone, wrote the crossover from Wyatt Earp's perspective. And then I got his script. And so then I basically had the opportunity to retell the story from the Cisco Kid's perspective. So it was a fun little exercise, not only just creative writing, multiple points of view, but now I get to say I collaborated with Chuck Dixon on something, which
how
blows
cool
my
is
mind.
That?
Yeah,
that's
it's awesome. It's awesome. And I got a chance to, I learned a lot too looking at Chuck's scripts.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, when does that come out?
It's tentatively scheduled for a spring release 07, spring of 07. We haven't solicited yet, so I'll definitely make a big announcement over the internet when folks will be able to order it. You can go over to myspace.com/CKVWE. That's as in Cisco Kid versus Wyatt Earp. I'll say it one more time. myspace.com. Right. /CKVWE. So you can go there, and that's kind of the internet headquarters for all the press that will be going on with this crossover event. I call it the crossover event of independent Western comics.
Nice.
Yeah.
You a fan of Westerns? I mean, or did you do any research in the genre?
Well, the Cisco Kid, I mean, it was a work-for-hire gig. It was my first miniseries, this past three-issue miniseries. And, you know, I was just looking for opportunities to work. And so they needed a new writer for the Cisco Kid, and I jumped at the opportunity. But I was not a born Western fan. It was something that I kind of came to through the research. You know, I mean, a lot of people, they still kind of consider Westerns a dead genre, even though there's been kind of a renaissance in comics with things like Jonah Hex and The Loveless. But I really discovered my love of comics, or of comics, I knew I love comics, of Westerns through the research. I watched the Dollars trilogy. I watched, you know, Sam Peckinpah, Sergio Leone. You know, I really got into Deadwood, and just some of the best American film ever made has been in the Western genre, and that's how the journey of the Cisco Kid has really made me a Western fan now.
Well, it's funny, you know, it is in film, especially in any medium, but Westerns keep going through cycles where it's like you'll see a rash of Western stories, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, it's dead, and nobody wants to touch Westerns, but then they come back. I mean, it's happened already a couple of times,
right,
especially in film.
Well, even in the early 90s, there was that whole Tombstone, Unforgiven kind of cycle.
Right.
There was a little boom there where everybody was doing Westerns, and then it kind of died down towards the second half of the 90s, but, you know, now it's happening in comics in a big way, and, if the trend from comics to film is has been any indication, I think that there's one coming in film sooner or later.
Oh, sure.
There's a Jesse James movie starring Brad Pitt was supposed to come out in October. It's called The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward, Frank McCall, or whoever the guy who shot him in the back was. But, it was Brad Pitt, man. Jack McCall, maybe?
I thought it was
Think of those Time Life books, Sal.
God, I gotta go back and remember. God, I can't think of it now. I thought it was his friend.
Shot a man for snoring.
Oh, I'm thinking of Billy the Kid. I'm thinking of Billy the Kid.
Yeah, that was
Suntress would know. John.
John.
Suntress.
Hey, John.
Who killed Jesse James?
Who shot Jesse James?
Who shot Jesse James?
Frank Howard. No, that's not his name.
McCullough?
No, Frank Howard was the. Howard was the alias that Jesse James was using at the time. I can't remember the guy's name.
Ah, right.
There's a famous folk song about the death of Jesse James.
Call in and tell us.
Yeah.
Do you know the answer?
No prize. The person who gets the answer.
Now, who are you working on with the Wyatt Earp Cisco Kid series?
None other than Eric J., which has been a very, very satisfying experience. I was on the phone with him last night. I was hoping he'd be able to call in and take part in our little talk, but he's very busy. He's working right now as we speak.
Good.
Literally on the Cisco Kid versus
Wyatt.
That's
the only excuse that we'll take for not being able to join us on the show.
Right.
And if you don't know Eric's work, he was the co-creator on Rex Mundi.
Right.
And a fantastic artist. So that's going to be something.
He's done some work, the Phantom.
Yeah, he did some Phantom for Moonstone. Mm-hmm. And now he's working on this with me. I really could be happier about that. When I was talking with him last night, if I can speak for Eric, he said that he's putting a little bit more effort into this, I mean, than he would a monthly series, like, for instance, Rex Mundi. Not to say they didn't do beautiful work on Rex Mundi.
That was nice, yeah.
But this is going to be a 32-page, you know, giant-size one-shot. So, you know, as a comics fan, you kind of expect something more of an event like this, where,
sure,
you know, you're just getting one issue, and so, you know, the time constraints aren't there like they are with a monthly trying to crank out 22 pages a month. So this is going to be something really special. So if you already like Eric J.'s work, this is going to be a whole new level of awesomeness.
That was awesome. Well, has the Chicago Mini-Con been a good experience for you today?
It's been a lot of fun, you know.
Good.
I mean, I made a few bucks for gas, but the funnest part, or the most fun part...
He's a writer.
The part I've enjoyed most is just get a chance to talk with all the local Chicago people. You know, I mean, there's a lot of talented people in Chicago, and I think the more we get together and have a chance to have little events like this and meet each other and have a meeting of the minds, the better. You know,
We were amazed at how many. We had no idea that there were this many Chicago area writers and artists, you know, here. It was just like we kept, you know, finding out more and more guys that lived in the area. It was just like, wow, it's pretty impressive, really.
We should all have a big club, like an army, and just take over the world.
Start going from town to town.
We need to have, like, the hot Chicago art scene, you know, comic book or, you know,
watch out, Beloit.
Scene.
They're coming watch for out.
You. We're coming to get you, Kansas
coming
City.
For you,
that's right. That's right.
Well, Len, it's a pleasure.
Oh,
thank you so
it's
much.
It's been a lot of fun, yeah.
And please keep us updated on Wyatt Earp versus Cisco Kid when it comes out and upcoming projects after that, because from everything I've heard is that you're going to be working after that.
It's
exciting.
That's the plan. You know, I mean, it's nice to be doing this Chuck Dixon thing. It's kind of high profile, and I'm all over MySpace. I'm like a 16-year-old girl. I'm on MySpace all the time.
Or at least his profile says he is.
I am a 16-year-old girl. That increased the hits.
All my
the
top
hits,
friends, yeah. But, yeah, if anybody out there in internet land wants to check me out on MySpace, it's myspace.com/LenCody. That's Cody with a K, my name. And, come by the Cisco Kid Wyatt Earp MySpace page. That's myspace.com/CKVWE.
Nice.
So, I hope to see some of you guys there, and great talking with you.
All right.
Thanks
all right.
a lot, Len.
Hey, right. Thanks a lot. Right. Grab Tony if you can.
You got
on
it.
Your way. So.
Tony.
Hey, it's well, so, good time.
How
huh?
cool is this? I'm having a great time.
You having fun?
I'm
You're
having a really
yourself?
Good time, yeah.
Well, Chris, you know, I gotta give you credit, man. I mean, you really did most of the work of putting this thing together. I was sort of like the naysayer.
It won't work.
Are you sure about this? I mean, this is going to be... I just kept going, it's either going to be really cool or it's going to be a disaster. And luckily, it turned out to be really cool.
It hasn't reached disaster level yet.
No, not yet. There's still a chance, but it's...
John Suncher's to stab Francesco. Disaster.
I think it's
bar fight.
It's been a lot of fun and interesting and great to see all these guys here and now we have another guest.
Oh, we got another guest. Take up time as we talk very slow.
Tony Akins, how you doing?
Hey, is this on?
It is.
Because I am.
The rich dulcet tones of Tony Akins.
For everyone out there, I hope that you're reading Jack Fables because it is a wonderful series.
You better be.
It's a challenge.
I think the book's doing well, though, isn't it?
The book is doing great. All of the reviews that I've read, and I've read a lot of them, people love it. People love it. I think the worst thing I've read has been, they don't... The one criticism is, you know, for whoever these short-sighted people are, it's that they can't see the whole series taking place in this prison camp. They think it's this permanent prisoner arrangement, and it's not.
Spoilers.
Well, I gotta say, personally, I mean, yeah, I was a huge Fables fan, and when Jack
still are,
yeah, I still am. I'm getting bigger every day, and. When Jack of Fables first came out, I was like, well, you know, do I want another Jack of Fables? Do I want another Fables book? Right? And I picked up the first issue, and I loved it. And I was still just like, well, maybe I can wait for the trade. And so I'm like, I'm sitting there putting my order in for my books, and I'm like, I could not order. It was so good.
Get
it was,
your fix.
Yeah, I just, I couldn't, you know, it was just, and the art was fantastic on it.
I love the Fables arc that Jack of Fables
came out of.
That was one of my favorite arcs in the last couple of years. And
that was Doug out of Studio Mercury on the West Coast. I can't think of his name, forgive me. But yeah, I read that story arc and something clicked and
it's like, this is fun.
Yeah, it is. And lo and behold, just a little bit after that, I got a call from Shelley. She says, you know, don't take anything because I've got something in the works for you.
Nice.
And Shelley Bond at Vertigo.
Mm-hmm. Now, With Jack Fables, you know, we obviously see that. But what else have you worked on? And I'm sure it's a long list of wonderful books.
It's a long list of yes, it is. Wonderful is the word. The first comic I worked on was Rust with Fred Schiller back at Now in which was based here in Chicago. That was 86.
86, 87.
Wow. And then, you know, Terminator. Then there was at First Comics, and I was drawing fill-ins of Nexus.
which I've come across online, and I'm stunned that I actually did that. I mean,
you're like, whoa, when did I do that?
it was weird, you know, because that first time, I was a professional commercial artist. I wasn't a comic book artist. Mm-hmm. So when I came in, kind of by accident, I sort of fell into it. So I was fairly ignorant of what was happening in the industry. So I, you know, being a professional artist, I saw Steve Blum's work, and I thought, oh, this guy's, you know, really good. But I didn't have a grasp of just what this was. I was filling in on it, and now I see Nexus, and I'm like, man, I was a part of that. So that's cool. So after Nexus, I was at Dark Horse and did licensed stuff for them, Star Wars, Tales of the Jedi, and then some Alien stuff, and then I kind of got out of the business for 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
a lot of comic book fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, say everyone, writers,
like
artists.
Tide of lemmings. And just really didn't look back. You know, I figured it was over, and then I got a call from Vertigo, thanks to Jill Thompson and Brian Azzarella. Jill and I, we shared a studio at the time, and so she would take...
And Jill's work is fantastic.
Oh, she's awesome. I just had lunch with her yesterday. Hi, babe.
I don't think she's listening.
She will be.
She was showing my pencils to people at Vertigo, and then Shelley Bond just gave me a call out of the blue and said, what are you doing? Like, do you want to draw comics? And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
And that's, you know, and that's that was the
so this
Fables
is your
Spillers.
First work you've done in 8 years?
Yeah, the Fables was the Fables issue 22.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And then the Bigby World War II stories.
That was the first stuff you've done. Wow,
like 8 years. Yeah,
great, man. Great two issue.
Oh, wasn't it
so cool? Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't. And that's the thing. It's like I'm so lucky because, you know, Fables is such an awesome title. And I can't imagine...
There's so many different types of stories you can tell coming from that.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that the last time you were working in comics, Bill Willingham was, like, writing Elementals.
Right. See, that's the irony. I mean, the last thing I did in comics was Ghost of the Chance. It was a double-issue Elemental story that Bill wrote. Or you know the second Kimiko, the evil Kimiko.
Wow.
And so it was so strange.
Kimiko of Earth 2.
Yeah, it was so strange to work on that, walk away from comics, and the first thing that comes back
is
Willingham.
Wow,
you know,
that is great. Yeah, that's amazing.
And I just found out that Shelley, at the original Kimiko, Shelley Robert, so she was Bill's original editor. On Elemental, so
it's all
like
connected.
That,
yeah,
yeah. Wow. It's really weird.
Kimiko
is really
like half a second away from having Fables.
I know.
Everyone involved, they're so close, but they just couldn't quite get it.
Oh.
So now are you like, you know, completely back into comics now? Or are you looking?
Oh yeah,
I mean,
I'm completely back in. I mean, the Jack of Fables is pretty much what consumes me. It's because it's working with Bill, and it's working with Matt Sturgis, and Shelley's such an awesome editor, and I love being
in
Vertigo.
And your inker, who was going to be here today, but has like 16 pages to ink by like Thursday, that's Andrew Peepoy.
Andrew Peepoy,
who's
yeah.
a wonderful, wonderful guy, and we're going to have Andrew hopefully on the show here in the next couple months, but really nice guy.
He is. The man is a walking repository of information. We trade trips as far as, you know, exchanging pages. And every time I go to his house, you know, there's like something amazing to look at on the wall, original art. And he'll go, well, I use this, you know, I was thinking of this artist from the 40s who was drawing this strip. And I have no idea what he's talking about, but he knows.
You just
and
nod.
Yes.
Like,
that's why he and Suntress get along so well. You know, they sit back and wax nostalgic.
It's astounding. I'm so ashamed because he loves this craft. He loves this craft. And this time around, in comics, you know, it's like it's the craft.
Yeah.
You know, it's I my ears and my eyes are open. I'm just not, you know, sort of skating through the way I was before and treating things as you know,
secondary.
Well,
to your true art or
exactly, because I was doing storyboards for TV commercials
before.
Okay, sure. And in the comic stuff, and they both suffer, but now it's just comics.
Do you feel from the last time that you're working in the industry that the perception of it has changed from it being maybe a little bit more recognized as an art form?
Yeah, there's definitely that, because the industry was on the cusp of that then, you know, because there was that blooming that was sort of happening.
Sure, yeah, and Watchmen coming out, and Mouse and stuff like that coming out at that time.
Where I kind of like came into it, because as a kid I was all horror, you know, all the war and stuff. That's all I digested. So I was never a superhero artist. And after that, it was The Watchmen, it was Mouse, Love and Rockets. Those were the things that were shown to me in the mid-80s that kind of like, this is happening. And so there was that event of comics becoming, you know, just sort of
evolution.
The critical acclaim, you know, the winning of the Pulitzer and all that. Mm-hmm. And this time around, the comics is it's recognized as, you know,
the art form that it is. That it really is.
You're treating it as whether Hollywood's treating it as a resource or a training ground for ideas or. However, it's something vital and it's something important, because it's an art form.
In things like this, like the signing, you listen to the creators and what they're talking about, and it's just amazing conversations of just like, you know, just blowing up with creative ideas, and just, you know, the thoughts and ideas in this room today are just frightening. The creative.
Must have been like 50 different Wolverine stories.
50 different Wolverine.
No, I didn't hear one mention.
One mention.
Not
Wolverine.
One Wolverine. I got a pitch for a Wolverine book. Let me tell you that.
You always have a pitch for a Wolverine book, but it's always a silly one.
It's always,
You said you were working storyboards for TV before?
Yeah, for television commercials, yeah.
Oh, okay. So how did you find the difference between that and when you first got into comics, as far as moving from storyboarding to sequential art in comic books?
Well, sequential is the operative word. I mean, I had the advantage of understanding, you know, what it was to tell a basic story in 30 seconds.
Right.
And so I just transferred that to, you know, an extended book. The difference was reading a longer script and living with a book.
Right.
Living with an idea for a month. And storyboarding is probably what gave me a little bit of an edge when I first came into comics. Because I understood the importance of telling a story sequentially. But as far as understanding...
do you think it was because there's so much more creative freedom in... You know what I mean? So that... It's almost like you don't, you know...
Oh, the lid comes off.
And
that's what's great about it. You understand the amount of restraint that's imposed on you in storyboarding. I mean, enjoying a page of Jack of Fables, you know, just in the expressions. You know, you never have somebody, you know, angry or you know, or crestfallen or crying in a
car commercial.
I hate this Mercury with saber.
Yeah, you know, this is a spoof. I mean, I get to handle so much more of an emotional range, physical range, settings. I mean, the lid is off.
You get to draw something besides content.
Yes.
But I would imagine at first that may be intimidating.
It is intimidating, you know, at first. Yeah, coming back to it.
Yeah.
What was great was coming back, I drew issue 22, and that issue pretty much took place in a hotel room. So I got to just go back to basics. And Shelley has a very defined sort of demand on layout in paneling. And so it's very basic, and so I got to ease into it. And then with the Bigby war stories, that was fantastic, because I'm you know, an armchair historian. So I got to draw all this stuff that I love.
Oh, that's cool.
Which you know, was great. And so that also helped sort of ease the process of coming back in, because it is. It's
you understand that, you know, you don't have to lock a camera down in order to, you know, get a shot. You can pull it around, you can zoom in on certain details, which I really did in those two issues. So you could tell I was sort of getting my legs back.
Right, right.
And in with Jack, it's that's just continuing. There are just like new things happening, you know, with every script.
So is Jack Fable's going to be it for a little while? Is that you say you're consumed with it? That's,
yeah.
So nothing else on the horizon. Jack Fable's is
nothing else on the horizon. I mean, okay. I've got a couple of, you know, like pinups for friends and things like that. But Jack of Fables is. You know, that's I'm rolling with that. I'm working on issue 9 right now.
Oh wow, fantastic!
So, and all I can say is just, you know, just keep reading, because the story just it's great now.
That's a fun character.
He's a blast.
Yeah.
He's a blast.
He's such a dick.
He is. He's
closest to actual people. He's the one normal one of all those characters. You know.
He's an uber mook. I mean, I'm appalled at his behavior, and I love it.
There's big times going on for Fables. I mean, it's almost a franchise. You've got the main series, and then they just came out with the 25-cent issue, which reprints issue number 1. Jack of Fables is rocking and rolling, and then they have a 1,000 Nights of Winners, was that the hardcover?
Yeah. Hardcover
that comes out in November,
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
And that I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, the art I've seen on that is fantastic. Jill and I were just talking about it yesterday at lunch. It's a terrific franchise.
It's amazing what that series has been able to do. The thing about Fables that I always see, it's you get these forum posts all the time. Mm-hmm. It's you know, what should I tell my girlfriend to read? And it's always, you know, Fables, Why the Last Man, Sandman.
Yeah. Those are the ones I give my girlfriend.
So what is it about that series that seems to be, I don't know, female accessible?
I think, well, you know, it's fairy tales, and fairy tales have to do with romance. There's something very basic about that, and so I think that's the easy sell for female readers. But then when you get into, you know, the drama of this exile and the backstories and the
politics,
and
there's just so much. That's what I love about that book is. And I think you said it earlier times, you can do anything in that book. You can go in any direction you want. You can do fantasy, you can do, you know, war, you can do, you know, whatever you want.
Politics,
drama, mystery, romance. Yeah. I mean, there's just anything you could possibly imagine.
And these characters have been around for, you know, hundreds of years, so you can go back and you can tell them the war story.
Right. Jack's got stories coming up where he'll be doing exactly that, going back and telling... you know, a very tall tale about what actually happened a couple of hundred years ago. I can't give any details, but it's...
Oh,
it's,
come on. Just come between us. It's just us.
But it's like the original tall tale. And and that's... Bill and I were teleconferencing, and he was talking about this. And I thought, you know, this... You can. This book can do anything, anywhere, at any time.
Yeah.
And but you can have any historical character, fictional character. It's just over the top.
You know, and that's the thing with that series. If you had said, you know, there's going to be a spinoff series from Fables, I would have assumed that it would have been Bigby. And that they picked Jack was, I think, really interesting, because there's a lot you really know Bigby, and you know what that character is. There was so much left to do with Jack, with the whole Hollywood thing and whatnot, but you know, maybe they'll do a Bigby spinoff.
But probably, I mean, because I think obviously, again, going back to the female draw, it's Bigby and Snow. They're such an anchor for the whole series, and I know that if they were ever sort of removed from that main storyline, it would have an effect on Fables. If Bigby got
you're always conscious in that book of where Bigby is.
Exactly.
Like,
you
when he's
really
not
are.
In it, You know he's not in it. It's always about where he is in relation to
and
what's
he going to do when he comes back and he's pissed.
Exactly.
Well, I think Fables is like a year away from being like the X-Books. It's just going to be like nine
Fables. They'll do stories, back in the homeland.
Bigby will be in like 12 books at the same time. He's the Wolverine.
The Arabian Nights spinoff.
Is it going to go Wolverine versus Bigby sketch?
There you go. Michael Turner covers.
What we need to do is, coming up here in the next few months, we need to have you come back on the show, and we need to call Bill and talk about Fables.
Never.
It'll never happen.
You shot my idea down.
Bill's a mute. He can't talk. That's why he's such a good writer.
No, I would be happy to come back on. Actually, I'm seeing Bill next weekend in Austin at a remembrance. It's the first annual Remembrance Day party that's being put on by a retailer down there. So Bill, Matt, I have no idea. It's so hush-hush, and I don't know why, but it's going to be a big deal, apparently.
Okay.
Apparently. Right. But I will see Bill next week and
put in the word for us. Put in a good word for us.
I will, because this is just so much fun.
Well, Tony, thank you so much. And next time we need to have a table for you.
Yeah. What, you just kind of wandered in?
Yeah. Off the street.
He's not even here for the signing.
I'm like, who's the dude in the corner? Oh, yeah, he draws Jackson.
Who's
Fables.
The tall guy?
Why is he not signing books? You know?
I was just walking by and somebody tripped me. I don't know.
So, yeah, next time we do one of these crazy things, we got to set you up with a table proper. And definitely would love to have you back on the show.
Absolutely. I'd love to be here.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, that will bring to a close our first half of
our 50th episode. So it's like 50.5.
Wait, my mind is racing doing the math.
Well, we knew that was going to happen. I mean, we had so many great creators that wanted to talk, and voicemails, and people we called, and. Yeah, what the hell? It's
a lot to look forward to in the second episode, though.
Yeah, there's a ton of great stuff in the second episode, so don't miss that. But we wanted to break it up because otherwise people will be emailing us bitching because it's too long. And
we have our teary-eyed, heartfelt thank you to everyone at the end of our second episode.
That we do.
So we won't reenact that for you. We won't act that way. But Sal, thank you very much for our first 50 episodes.
Thank you, Chris.
It's been a fun time.
It has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has. I enjoy every Friday night. I look forward to it, and I hope that our listeners look forward to Monday morning when they come out. Tune in next Monday whenever we have the second half. Are we going to do it on Monday? Tuesday, Thursday?
I don't know. Yeah, we might do it on Monday, or we might do a new episode
Monday. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Refresh your iTunes.
Yeah, it might be later in the week.
You'll get one eventually. Don't whine. Stop your bitch. It's all going to get pushed back.
Yeah, we're delayed. We're Civil War delay. We're delayed. We got tie-ins and crossovers that are late.
We are liars.
Did anybody touch on what? Mr. Niesman here got his special Francesco drawing.
Oh, my Francesco.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we talked about it.
But that's next episode, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the second half.
So. Well, I tell you what, folks. Tune in for the next episode. It'll be the second half of our 50th episode. Still doesn't make sense.
50 and a half.
But in the meantime, we'll be everywhere in...
And around comics.
Second half.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week. With a panel will change, but our mission stays the same, bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.